Well, good evening. It's good to be here again. Well, this is our second in our sermons on the signs from John's Gospel. But I actually want to start in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16. There was a point where Jesus, in his ministry, where Jesus spoke to his disciples and asked them, "Who do people say that I am?" Their answer was, some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And then Jesus said to them, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" It's a pretty good question to stop and consider. Who do you say Jesus is? And when you say who you believe he is, what does it really mean to you? How does that shape your life? When Jesus asked, Simon Peter answered with, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said that was right, and that answer hadn't come from human knowledge, it had come from revelation from God. Now, if you have a think about what Jesus was doing, for the most part, he's out there standing up to the religious leaders. He's standing up for God. He's performing signs and healing people. He's teaching the people. So when the people looked, what they saw was someone who was behaving a lot like the prophets of old. They were expecting a Messiah to come, but he was going to be a king. He was going to be a king who was going to come and set up a kingdom in Israel, and it would reign forever. And what they didn't see was someone who was coming along speaking against the Romans and setting up to kick them out and set up a new kingdom. So they didn't see someone behaving like they thought the Messiah was going to. They didn't see the Messiah they were expecting, but Peter saw more. And Jesus identified that that revelation came from God. So the question for us is, who did John think Jesus was? If we go to chapter 20, right near the end of the Gospel, we read this. "Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." So what John believes, almost word for word, is the same as Peter. Jesus is the Messiah, he is the Son of God. Now the question is, what does the Son of God mean to us? The idea of being a Son of God was present in the Old Testament. But if you look at how it was used, it was talking about raising people up. Someone like David, for example, God thought was a man after his own heart, and he raised him up, adopted him as son. It's a bit like how we stand with God. We're adopted as his children. But John had a different idea. Fairly significantly different. John thought that being the Son of God meant that he was actually God himself. If we go back to the very start of the Gospel, John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has been made." So John pictures Jesus as the Word. And that in fact not only was he with God at the beginning, but he was God himself. And it's through Jesus everything that was created. Anyone read the Narnia books? Yeah, some people? Okay. In the first of the books, as they come chronologically, there's a scene where we actually see the making of Narnia. It's the book called The Magician's Nephew, and the magician and the nephew and some friends are there. They're in a dark place, and they hear a song, and light comes. Yeah, and the song is actually Aslan the Lion, and he comes, and as he sings, Narnia is created. And what we find in the story is that Aslan is singing the song that his father created for him that would bring Narnia into being. And that's the picture that John is bringing here. Jesus is the Word that God speaks. We know in Genesis, God spoke. He said, "Let there be light." He said, "Let there." God spoke, and creation happened. And Jesus is the Word through which that creation happened. In verse 4 of chapter 1 we read, "In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And John sees Jesus as the source of life. A bit later in verse 14, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." So John sees Jesus as God himself, putting off his majesty, stepping down from heaven to be born one of us. And Paul talks in very similar strains in his writings, that Jesus is God himself, who's put off being the infinite God to walk among us. So this is the foundation of what John is trying to show us when he says that he wants us to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And so as we read the stories, as we understand the significance of these signs that Jesus performed, John expects us to come to the same conclusion he did. So let's set the scene for today's reading, for this healing. It's fairly early on in Jesus' ministry. John the Baptist is still preaching. Jesus has met his disciples and is still getting to know them. They're still getting to know him. In chapter 2, which we heard last week, Jesus went to a wedding, created wine out of water. A bit later, he went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and it seems like most of the country went there as well. While he was there, he cleared the temple and he performed many signs, lots of healings and probably casting out of evil spirits. And people everywhere heard about this. Then he returned to Galilee and he came via Samaria. Now, this is the story of the woman on the well. At the well, he met the woman. He had a conversation with her. She ended up calling all her friends and neighbours. They came to hear what Jesus had to say. And he ended up staying a couple more days at that town in Samaria, teaching the people there about who the Messiah was and what was going to happen. And then he came to Galilee. And so in the verse before our reading tonight, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he'd done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. So the Galileans are really excited Jesus is back, because he does lots of exciting stuff. They've seen signs and wonders and miracles. They are really happy to have him back. Now contrast that for a moment with what he's just done with in Samaria. He spent 3 days teaching people. It's not about signs and wonders, it's about teaching them about who the Messiah is, what he's come to do. And so when we come into the reading today, let's have a look at the start. Once more he visited Cana in Galilee, where he turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When a man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you'll never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." So we have a royal official from King Herod's court in Capernaum. He may not have been very senior. I suspect if he was fairly senior, he would have had some transport. And I think that because it was about 20 miles. And it would take you most of a day to walk there. And, of course, another day to walk back. And given the timing of the story, it seems that that's what he did. And so what's happened? His son is close to death. He's heard about Jesus and the things he's done in Jerusalem. And he thinks, maybe Jesus can save my son. And so he comes and begs. We have a desperate father seeking a healing. Now Jesus' response appears to be a rebuke to this man. He's asking for healing for his son, and Jesus said, "You guys just want signs and wonders." I think it's more likely the rebuke was directed at the crowd around him. Just imagine for a minute, Jesus got a crowd following, they're hoping for something spectacular. This man turns up and says, "My son is dying, come and heal him," and they're all, "Oh, this is good, we'll go and see something exciting." Well, Jesus did something a little different. The royal official begged, "Sir, come down before my child dies." And Jesus said, "Go, your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. So after what appears to be a rebuke, the man's not discouraged. He begs again, and Jesus speaks. He says, "Go, your son will be healed." I think the fact that this man simply took Jesus at his word and went home is a pretty impressive show of faith. Okay, it's all well and good for Jesus to say his son will be healed, and he heads off home. Think about it. It's another day's walk to get back there. If you got back there and nothing has changed, what do? Do you have to walk back and find Jesus again? Maybe he might have even died by that time. So to take Jesus at his word and just go. Think if you know the story of Jairus and his daughter. Jairus comes and begs Jesus to come. And Jesus does. And he gets to Jairus' house. In fact, he's nearly there when people come out and say it's too late. Jesus goes in and heals the girl. Didn't happen in this case. Jesus hadn't gone. There was no reassurance. He sent the man on his way, and the man went confidently. And so what happened? Well, in verse 51, while he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired at the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1:00 PM, the fever left him." That's the 7th hour, 1:00, yesterday. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son would live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Pretty cool. Now, just have a think for a minute about what the royal official had said to Jesus. "Come down before my child dies." Two words to think about there: come and before. Firstly, the official believes Jesus needs to be there to heal his son. He wants Jesus present. And secondly, he wants him to do it before it's too late, because once he's died, there's nothing Jesus can do. Now, probably fairly reasonable that we might think that. In a few weeks' time, we're going to hear the story of Lazarus. That's the last of our signs. Happens later in September. Let me read you a couple of excerpts from the story of Lazarus. "Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. The sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" In verse 5, "Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let's go back to Judea.' On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. When Martha came to him, she said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my father would not have died.' And then a bit further, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at her feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my father would not have died.'" Mary and Martha knew Jesus pretty well. This is towards the end of his ministry. Not only did they know him and his disciples, they knew what he'd done. Yet they still expected him to come and heal Lazarus. They expected that he needed to be present. And they thought that it was too late for him to do anything. If he'd come while Lazarus was still sick, he could have stopped him from dying, but Lazarus was been in the grave for several days. And yet, even though they knew all these things, they still had a limited view of what Jesus could do. Well, we know from the story that we heard today that, in fact, Jesus could have done something different. As soon as he heard the news, he could have healed Lazarus from a distance. But he didn't. If you want to understand why, you've got to come back in a few weeks and hear that story. So we have an interesting story here about a request for healing, an act of faith, and an act of faith that was justified. So what do we need to take out of this? Well, the first thing, the thing that upset Jesus, don't keep seeking signs. He's done enough through his life and through his death and resurrection to show us who he is. But we should expect him to act in our lives, and we should have faith that he would act. We also need to remember Lazarus. Jesus doesn't always do what we expect him to do, or do things the way we expect him to. But don't limit what we expect from him. Just as John's throwing this gospel, Jesus is God himself, and he can do whatever it is that he needs to. And how do we respond? Well, let's respond like the official did. He believed in Jesus, and he was a witness to what Jesus had done. Have a think about the royal official. It says that he believed, and so did his whole household. Think about it from the household's perspective. You have the servants and the family. They're at home. The son's dying. Father's gone off to see if this miracle worker can come and heal him. And then suddenly the fever goes. The son gets better. So the servants rush off to find him. They meet him. It's actually the next day. So I don't know what time of day it was. Jesus and the man had spoken at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Here we are the next day. They meet him and say, "Your son's better. It's all good. You don't need to bring this guy home." What does the official say? Well, he asks, "When did this happen?" "It was 1 o'clock." That's the exact time Jesus said to him, "Go home, your son will get better." And so from what appears to be a natural healing, a natural breaking of the fever, suddenly it's a miraculous healing. And so because of that man's witness to what had happened with him and with Jesus, the servants believed, the family believed, the whole household believed. So, who do you say Jesus is? We've already seen that Jesus can create wine out of water. We've seen that he can command healing from a distance. All he had to do was speak and the healing happened. And John has more signs to show us who Jesus is. In doing the preparation for this, in reading this through the gospel to have a look and see what it is that's going on, the thing that stood out to me is that in amongst all the miracles, the signs that John's pulled out, the things that we're looking at through this sermon series, are more than just something like the prophets might have done. Because that's what the people were seeing. In fact, what we're seeing is things, Jesus doing things that really only God could do. And that's what John is trying to show us. From the very beginning of his gospel, Jesus is God himself come among us. And do we believe that? And do we get the life in him that John wants us to? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you sent Jesus to live among us, to die for us, and to be raised up. We thank you that we can have life in him. Help us to know truly who you are and who Jesus is. And help us to live lives that are full because of that. Help us to have eternal life. And help us to be witnesses to those around us, to what's going on in our lives, and how you have loved us, and how we have been saved by you. We just pray that everyone we know would see us as true witnesses to your love for us, for them, and for the world. In Jesus' name. Amen.